everyone, and welcome to Globalize Asia. Support for this podcast comes from Royal Beans Chocolates. Royal Beans is based out of Bangalore, India, and specializes in Belgian chocolates infused with exciting flavors like masala chai, cappuccino, berry blast, walnut marble, and many more. You can gift these special crafted chocolates to your loved ones in India by visiting their website www.royalbeans.in. Use the promotional code GLA10 to get 10% discount off your order. Thank you.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Globalize Asia. Fourth and last episode of Shiras of India is to highlight the all-important freedom movement against British Raj, liberation movement for women, and women as revolutionaries of 20th century India.
We started from the ancient period, the Vedic period. Now we're coming now to the 20th. We've skated through the whole period of Indian history in no time. Wonderful. Well, let's talk of the women's participation in the freedom struggle, the struggle to win freedom against the British rule, which finally happened. We got the freedom on 15th August 1947. So the women movement for liberation, the movement for the liberation of women, also got stimulus from the rise of nationalism in 20th century. All right, so Gandhi's leadership, Indian National Congress, the rise of nationalism gave, you know, also a boost to the liberation of women because of their participation. The participation of women in agitation against the partition of Bengal 1905, support for home rule movements, Swadeshi, that is, we have to wear and use only that is made in India, and we will boycott foreign goods. And the movement led by Gandhiji, like non-cooperation, civil disobedience, contributed to the liberation of women. A progressive India, it was said, would emerge only when there was emancipation of women. You see, this is very, very important. India will progress only when also the women are reformed and upgraded in the society.
The first two decades of the 20th century saw the birth of several women's organizations. The well-known Annie Besant also led the Home Rule League and was elected president of the Calcutta Congress session in 1917. That same year was also significant as Sarojini Naidu led a delegation of women to meet the Montag Chelmsford Committee to demand a series of reforms in the condition of women. Basanti Devi, Urmila Devi and Suniti Devi, well-known women organizers during the non-cooperation movement. In 1925, Sarojini Naidu was elected president of the Indian National Congress, the first ever woman to hold that post.
Yeah, Vatsala, you talked about Annie Besant. You said the most remarkable woman of the 20th century. You know, she was responsible for setting up the Banaras Hindu University. Mm-hmm. And she also played a very keen role in reforming Indian education. And she emphasized that India was the cradle of civilization. So she loved the Vedic culture, the Vedic education, the intellectualism, the philosophy, and she insisted that India was the cradle of civilization. Well, coming to the nationalist movement, 1930 was a turning point in the participation of women in the freedom struggle. There was mass participation, not just in big cities, but also from small towns and villages. Revolutionary women took up arms and were just not patrons, but participants in the revolutionary movement for freedom.
So let's talk about some women as revolutionaries. In 1931, terrorism had reached new heights in Bengal. People were getting disillusioned with the slow pace of the freedom struggle, that many resorted to violent methods. Stevens, a British officer, was assassinated by two schoolgirls, Santi and Suniti Chaudhary. This was totally a new level of participation for women in the so-called revolutionary movement.
Yeah, and we cannot ignore the name of Preeti Lata Vada. She was chosen to lead an uprising against a club that had the tenet, dogs and Indians are not allowed. She, along with a group of others, attacked a European club, set fire to it. She was in charge of supplying explosives to the revolutionaries in the Battle of Jalalabad. The feisty fighter died while leading an attack on the European club. She killed herself to avoid capture. She said in her dying statement, females are determined that they will no more lag and stand side by side with their brothers in any activities, however dangerous or difficult. I earnestly hope that my sisters will no more think themselves weaker and will get themselves ready to face all dangers and difficulties and join the revolutionary movement. Vatsala, not to miss the point, lag. She emphasized on the word that women will no longer lag, means women will stand equal to men.
Kalpana Datta, along with Preeti Lata, was also a revolutionary and a member of the Indian Republic Army led by Surya Sen. They attacked the British armory in Chittagong on 18th April 1930. But Kalpana was tried following that along with Surya Sen and eventually sentenced to life imprisonment. Not surprising.
And Vatsala had said that both of them, they emerged as full-fledged comrades, that is Preeti Lata and Kalpana Datta, in arms, joining in attacks, living in disguise or undercover in dense forest.
And then we all know about Bhagat Singh, the revolutionary who fought for India's independence. But Durga Devi Vohra not only helped Bhagat Singh escape British intelligence networks, but also actively participated in action during the Leamington Road outrage. She helped Bhagat Singh and his team evade the police cordon set up to capture Saunders' assassin. She was involved in a range of activities and even led the action shooting at a British policeman and his wife in October 1930. Durga Devi travelled on trains with sacks full of crude bombs collected from neighbouring villages for the Hindustan Socialist Republican Association.
Yeah, this is the same party which Bhagat Singh was part of, Chandrashekhar Azad, Bhagat Singh, all the revolutionaries. So we see the women are playing an important role. Okay.
Leading public demonstrations.
So they were revolutionaries, yes. But now when we come to the main nationalist movement, which is based on the principle of so-called non-violence as projected by Gandhi, you know, in his the talk of Satyagraha, we see that women are playing a role in demonstrations, public demonstrations, wielding the charkha, propagating the use of khadi, and organizations were started for collecting funds for the victims of Jallianwala Bagh massacre, 1919. You know what happened in Amritsar?
Yeah.
People had gathered to protest against the Rowlatt Act. Just a small gathering of local people. And then they were fired without giving a warning. And many thousands, hundreds died.
So the London mayor was there quite recently. And he was a witness to what happened years ago.
Yes, very true.
And then prominent names such as Sarojini Naidu, Lado Rani, Zuchi, Basanti Devi and Urmila Devi took active role in addressed mass gatherings. So did Bin Amina, the mother of Ali brothers, leaders of the Khilafat movement. She addressed meetings from behind the veil. Women during the Swadeshi movement participated in boycott and bonfires. They helped the nationalist volunteers with their ornaments, provided revolutionaries with shelter and logistic support. Some from subordinate classes also joined in the movement. During the Rowlatt Act, Satyagrahi Gandhiji was reluctant to allow women participation, but some women did were inspired by nationalists and came out to address meetings just on their own.
Yeah, so women power was seen everywhere, whether it was in Gandhi's ashram, in picketing, in village welfare, rural and tribal agitation, filling jails, marching, demonstrating. Women from all backgrounds, rich Marwaris to conservative peasants, had all one goal. We will participate in the movement for Azadi. During the Bardoli Satyagraha, the leader of the movement, Sardar Vallabhai Patel, inspired men and women to join this protest. The women of Bardoli gave him the title of Sardar. Special emphasis was laid on mobilization of women, and many women activists like Mithuben Petit, a Parsi lady from Bombay, Bhaktiba, the wife of Darbar Gopal Das, Maniben Patel, the Sardar's daughter, Sharda Ben Shah and Sharda Mehta were recruited. As a result, women often outnumbered men at the meetings and stood firm in their resolve not to submit to government threats.
And civil disobedience marked as a major step forward in the emancipation of Indian women. The Indian woman is struggling for national and domestic liberty at the same time, and like a woman, she is utterly unreasonable and illogical in her demands and in her methods. But like a woman, she has an enormous influence over the stronger sex. Many local officials, including police officers, have suffered more from taunts and abuse from their female relatives than from any other source.
You know who said this? This was quoted by the UP Police Inspector General Dodd on 3rd September 1930, where he himself is admitting that women are, even sitting at home, are, you know, forcing or taunting and abusing the men folks that go out and do something for the nation. So that was the spirit around. So women came out in large numbers, we've seen, and they silently bore the blows of police lathi. Moved by Gandhi's call, they also saw service to the nation as a sacred duty. In 1930, during the salt satyagraha, he forbade them. He said, no, you will not march with me on this long journey to break the salt law. But Sarojini Naidu, it is said, defied the ban. She marched with a large group of 2,500 volunteers to capture the salt godown at Darshana. Kamala Devi Chattopadhyay, Avanti Bai Gokhale, they lit the first fires on which contraband salt was prepared. Kamala Devi Chattopadhyay can be regarded as one of the greatest Indian women of modern times. Married off to a man chosen by her family, she was widowed early and then married a left-wing actor from another part of India, Hirendranath Chattopadhyay. He played a very interesting role in many of the Hindi movies.
Yeah. And she joined the freedom movement, persuading Gandhi to allow women in court women to court arrest during the salt march and after. After coming out of jail, Chattopadhyay became active in trade union work and travelled to the US, where she explained the relevance of civil disobedience to black activists. After independence and partition, Chattopadhyay supervised the resettlement of refugees. And later, she set up an All India network of cooperatives and established a National Crafts Museum, as well as a National Academy for Music and Dance.
Yeah, and this is what we talk about, the prominent names, you know, which are mentioned in the history books. But in Nagaland, do you know, Vatsala, a 13-year-old Rani, Gaidunuli, rebelled against the foreign rule in response to Gandhi's call for civil disobedience. She was imprisoned in 1932 and was released only in 1947.
On the other hand, we have in Punjab, Sushila Devi, who exhorted women to come for the meetings and collect funds for anarchists under the trial. On the other hand, in Punjab, we have Sushila Devi, who exhorted women to come for the meetings and collect funds for the anarchists under trial. Purani, a woman member of the Hisar Arya Samaj, toured several districts of Punjab educating women that they should bring up their sons not with a view to joining the government, but to an independent participation in trade, especially the manufacture of sale of Swadeshi. In North India, women from Allahabad, Lucknow, Delhi and Lahore joined public demonstrations and shocked a public unused to seeing respectable women in the streets without veils. In these northern cities, demonstrations occasionally attracted as many as 1,000 women. Many girls left schools and colleges to join in the freedom struggle, and women's demonstrations in Delhi had a great impact on the men who witnessed them.
The government's confidential record includes detailed reports of how women activities brought men into the movement. On one occasion, Delhi women, dressed in red saris, blocked access to the courts. They were surrounded by male supporters who acted as a protective shield. The women were steadfast in the face of police attacks and astounded everyone with their bravery.
It was mass mobilization of women power. In Allahabad, women from the Nehru family made public speeches and went door to door urging other women to join in the movement. Swaroop Rani, the old frail mother of Jawaharlal Nehru, emerged from a lifetime in the Zainana to walk through the streets in Khaddar. Swaroop Rani was struck down by police lathis during the peaceful march supporting the Swadeshi movement.
Yeah, and now Kamala Nehru, Jawaharlal Nehru's wife. It is said that she actively participated in the freedom movement. Her message was also direct, all must join, take the vow of Swadeshi and wear only khadi. If women united, the rebellion could never be crushed. Kamala Nehru stood by Nehru's side and influenced him. And you know who mentions this? It's written by Indira Gandhi in her autobiography that how my mother, Kamala Nehru, influenced my father, Jawaharlal Nehru, to join the freedom movement. She remained the silent but potent influence, she writes, throughout Nehru's life. Incidentally, since Kamala herself has come under the strong influence of Gandhi's principles and philosophy, even more perhaps than Nehru. So it is said that Kamala Nehru was just too captivated and enamored by Gandhi's talk of Satyagraha. She took Gandhi's call for self-sacrifice seriously. She encouraged Jawaharlal in his radicalism and urged him to change his way of life, leave the Western life and adopt the simple life, the life that Gandhi was leading in the ashram. And all this is mentioned by Indira Gandhi. Then there's, you know, Vatsala, a very interesting extract from Indira Gandhi's autobiography of her childhood and how the Swadeshi movement, which was a movement to use only and wear, which is Indian, she writes, and these are her words, I'm quoting, "My first memories of the day when in response to Gandhi's appeal all over the country, foreign clothes were burned. The large terrace covered with piles of clothes, and what lovely colors, what rich materials, were being burnt in response to Swadeshi and boycott. I was passionately fond of my doll, which had been gifted to me by a foreign lady who had come to our house, and the doll was my friend, my child. I adored it, but the doll was a foreign doll, made and manufactured outside India. The decision came, which was very hard, that should I part with the doll? Should I throw it on the terrace in the huge pile of clothes and allow it to burn? And this decision I made, quivering with tension. I took the doll up on my roof terrace and set fire to her." And she writes, Indira Gandhi writes in her autobiography, that that was a turning point in my life. That moment, that whole passion, the patriotism in me was just lit up. And I had a deep desire to do something for my nation.
Yeah. From being the first woman medical graduate of India to becoming the first woman member of a legislative council, Dr. Muthulakshmi Reddy's journey is nothing short of inspiring. Muthulakshmi was born in a day and age where the phrase "women must be seen and not heard" was often bandied about and used as an excuse to subvert the true potential of women. But she refused to listen to discussions about marriage until she graduated. She got admission in the Madras Medical College. Her application was initially rejected because of her gender. She was born in the princely state of Pudukkota in 1886. The Maharaja of Pudukkota at the time was impressed by her motivation and allowed her admission and also a scholarship. She eventually went on to set up a shelter home and initially was operating from her home in Adyar. Later, during the freedom movement, she quit her profession and joined the struggle under the leadership of Gandhi. She tirelessly worked towards abolition of Devadasi system and child marriage.
Yeah, we discussed the Devadasi system, right? And during the ancient period, it was prevalent where women were dedicated their lives to the deity, the main idol in the temple. And they led their whole life in the temple, and which was not so liberating. So she felt the desire to liberate them, to remove them from the shackles of the system of Devadasi. Well, coming to the same period of the national movement in Delhi, there are references that Satyavati Devi, the granddaughter of Swami Shraddhanand, became one of the leaders of the movement. She encouraged, urged the women to join and make personal sacrifice for the nation. And then the colonial repression were creating a lot of women martyrs. Two peasant women were taking part in peaceful demonstration during the Quit India movement. The gathering was unarmed, but the police fired shots, and two Satyagrahis in Midnapore in Bengal were killed in the police firing. Urmila Bala Paria was the first woman martyr during the civil disobedience movement. Matangani Hazra died during the Quit India movement, born in a very poor family of the peasants. She became a widow at the early age of 18. In 1905, it is said she joined the Indian independence movement, and her name will be remembered as the role she played in the Quit India movement. At the age of 71, She marched with 6,000 supporters with the purpose of taking over the police station. She was shot dead by the police. This woman kept chanting Vande Mataram till her last breath, holding the tricolor high.
And outside India, in Singapore, Lakshmi Swaminathan met with the officers of Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose's Indian National Army, and that association brought her to active politics. Knowing Netaji's aspiration to raise a women's regiment to fight for Indian independence, she met him with the request for setting up an all-woman regiment named as the Rani of Jhansi Regiment.
Vatsala, why is it named after Rani of Jhansi?
After the Rani Lakshmi.
The great rebel, yes.
So women were trained to be in direct combat action. Lakshmi Swaminathan emerged as Captain Lakshmi from the very day and marked her name in the history of India forever.
British repression forced many revolutionaries to leave India. Madam Bikaji Rustam Kama was born in affluent Parsi family. She worked as a relief worker in the epidemic of bubonic plague in Mumbai in 1896. She was sent to Britain as she got infected while tending the ailing people. Though she was told to stay away from the Indian freedom movement, she joined it, and after coming back from Britain, she helped to establish the Indian Home Rule Society. Madam Bikaji was an active social worker, philanthropist and freedom fighter. She'll be remembered for a brave act of unwinding Indian national flag in the International Socialist Conference that took place in Germany in 1905. So these women, Vatsala, we've seen, they're operating outside India, but they're making a mark, right? They're boldly using the resources outside India and encouraging the freedom struggle here.
Yeah. And who can forget Aruna Asif Ali, born Aruna Ganguly, again, an Indian independence activist. Aruna Asif Ali, foremost organizer of the underground activities, successfully went underground and escaped arrest despite the best efforts of police. She is widely remembered for hoisting the Indian National Congress flag at the Gwalia Tank Maidan in Bombay during the Quit India movement.
Yeah, and we cannot forget Nilima Mukherjee. Do you know she belonged to a wealthy landlord family of nationalists, but she accompanied Gandhi during the Noakhali riots in 1946 and comforted and empathized with the girls who had been molested during the Hindu-Muslim riots. Many women, girls were often displaced and efforts were being made to give them shelter and rehabilitation.
Wow, Ina, that was so interesting to look back at history. And to be perfectly honest, I had no idea about such prominent women and the role they've played throughout the different centuries in India, right up until independence.
Yeah, Vatsala, amazing, isn't it? And we've managed to cover right from the ancient medieval till the winning of independence. And the actual participation in every phase of life, in every period of history.
And why it's so important to trace back the role of women previously to now, to then form a link that what defines the role of women in today's society, Indian society. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely. I really agree in to what you're saying. And it's been an amazing journey. And you can imagine the journey of these women. Because they were going against the set norms of the society. They were daring to do what they felt like doing. It was a liberating experience for them.
And to set the ground for people, women like us.
Yeah, and today, of course, there's much more freedom. The whole atmosphere is far more, you know, friendlier to them. Yes, there could be few misgivings here and there, but that period of whether it's the Vedic period or whether the Muslim rule or the 19th to early 20th century were not so liberating, but they chose to pick up.
Yeah, and have the sparks for everything.
Yeah, it was ready, steady, go. Looking forward to more in series. I hope everybody enjoys listening
yes,
to it.
Absolutely.
Thanks you so much. Yeah. Thank you, Gagan.
Hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. You can catch all upcoming episodes on the website globalize-asian.co.uk or via your iOS or Android devices. Also, if you wish to join us as a speaker and share your story, please do drop us a message via the contact form on the website.